Hello, Mayor.
One and only Nick Fish. All right. Are you ready, Carl?
Yes.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the August 9th, 2018 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Here.
Udaly? Fritz? Fish?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. And now we'll hear from our wonderful city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so that everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify, unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on, and then when your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and you would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Very good. Thank you. And just one footnote to today's meeting. Some of you may notice on the agenda there is an item 845, and I just want to be clear that is not an agenda item to be brought before the City Council. That's an executive order, and that's just the formal documentation of reassigning the bureaus, the departments, and liaison responsibilities amongst the council members. So with that, Carla, could you please read items 843 and 844 together?
Mm-hmm. 843, accept status report on the progress towards the actions and items listed in the Division Transit Project Locally Preferred Alternative Conditions of Approval, and 844, authorize an intergovernmental grant agreement with TriMet for the Division Transit Project in an amount not to exceed $15,730,000.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I am pleased to introduce two items today for the Division Transit Corridor Project. We'll be hearing a status report on the progress made in addressing the conditions of approval that City Council adopted with the locally preferred alternative in December of 2016. And also before us is an ordinance to authorize the city to provide a portion of the local match funding for the project. The Division Transit Project is grounded in an ethos of partnership and collaboration, just like the Portland Streetcar, a strong partnership between the city and TriMet. They help us respond to broader community needs, including affordable housing, equitable community development, and other opportunities to enable current residents and businesses to remain and grow with smart transit investments. We are being joined by a number of agency and bureau partners today, and I want to thank them for their contributions. They include TriMet, Metro, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Portland Housing Bureau, Prosper Portland, and the Portland Bureau of Transportation. And I want to thank the community partner organizations that have helped shape this project. Many have been involved from the very beginning and served as members of the steering committee during the planning phase. And a few will speak today to us as part of the public testimony. So again, thank you. And now I'll turn it over to staff to start us off, and then we'll hear from TriMet General Manager Doug Kelsey.
Very good. And Commissioner Saltzman, while they're making their way up to the rostrum, I just want to point out that the ordinance is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance, so it will not be voted on today anyway. And two of our colleagues who could not be here today asked if we could continue the resolution to next week after public testimony so that they would have an opportunity to weigh in prior to casting their votes. But we'll take all the testimony today, but I just wanted people to be aware that we will not actually vote on the resolution until next week so that Commissioners Fritz and Udaly have a chance to weigh in as well. Sorry for the interruption.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Teresa Boyle, and I am the city's major projects manager. So the large regional projects that are done in partnership and cooperation with other entities such as TriMet or ODOT come through our office and myself to manage the city's involvement so we can hopefully be streamlined. You will be hearing from a lot of people today. You heard Commissioner Saltzman reference the fact that this is a partnership, and it really isn't anything that anyone entity can lift. So very glad to have them here. As far as the agenda goes, I'll be providing some introductory overview remarks, and then Doug Kelsey will be kind of filling in probably the real part of the story there. April Bertelsen, who's a senior transportation planner with PBOT, will be doing the status report, and then I'm going to do cleanup with the IGA. So I think we all are very excited to talk to you today about Division Transit. So it's better bus service, but it is a first for Portland. This is unique for us. This system will be unlike anything we have so far. It's a 15-mile treatment for an entire corridor from Portland through to Gresham, and it's going to be replacing the number 4 bus, which today carries over 10,000 daily riders. I'm sorry, I don't need to read this for you. It carries a lot of people. Those buses are crowded, and they get full. And when they get full, people are passed up. And we don't want to do that. There are a lot of people that need this system. So this is a high-capacity transit project. We will be utilizing 60-foot-long buses. They will have a great deal more capacity. And they're going to have that three-door boarding akin to what you would see with a light rail project. They come in stations, just like light rail. When you think of it, it has two platforms, but it's considered a station. So we have 42 stations between Portland and Gresham, and they're spaced out, I would say, very, very thoughtfully, and we have some more information on that. One of the other exciting elements is that we will be doing traffic signal upgrades with transit priority, and this is something that is our first venture into being a smart city. From a technology standpoint, this is a treatment of an entire corridor with new technology. So we are anticipating a 15% to 20% reduction overall in travel time with frequent buses and really a very high quality of service. The service runs on the original transit mall and in South Waterfront and OMSI on the existing stations that we already have prepared, but from Southeast 11th to the east, they are all new and reconfigured. So we're 30% designed. We have a ways to go. We are targeting to be ready to go to construction at the end of 2019 for a service opening by TriMet in 2022. And the project team's ethos as we complete design is to, we're inventing a new project, right, and a new thing, and we are determined to bring something that provides reliable service in a cost-effective manner, ultimately that can be replicated elsewhere throughout Portland and the region as other corridors start needing that kind of service.
Well, thank you, and good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Good afternoon. My name is Doug Kelsey. I'm the general manager at TriMet. We are really excited to be here today. And thanks to Teresa and the team, as the commissioner outlined, it really does take a team to pull complexity of this off. So it is a really exciting and unique time. As Teresa's outlined on one of the charts, this is a great connector, this route. There's 42 stations. 35 of them are in the city of Portland, or over 83%. It is. It also has not just the 42 stations. There's some real connectors it brings. It connects to the Orange Line, to the Green Line, to PSU, to OHSU, Franklin High School, David Douglas. You can go down a list, the PCC East Campus. So it really is part of a connector, not only as a unique project, but if we zoom back out and look at the region, it is really part of how we move the region in a faster pace.
Can we remove that little box in the middle? It popped up and it's just obscuring.
It's probably driver error being me.
There we go.
Thank you. So it really is part of an investment in a network of mobility. So each one has to be kept in that context as well. In terms of the stations, again, 35 stations in Portland, 75% of the transit users would have service near their current stop. This becomes important. I'll talk about this in a little bit later. 95% of the riders would have service within three blocks of the current stop, or about a third of a mile. So a lot of this was based on feedback from the listening sessions that were done in the building up to get to this point in the project. Oops, what am I? I'm hitting the wrong one, clearly.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So part of also the stations are also we need to take into consideration the amenities. It's not just a list of buses, of 35 articulated buses coming into play. It's also the amenities, the land shaping, the station shaping. But with the stations come, there'll be weather protection, either existing or new investments to come with all of those stations. There'll be lighting, real-time travel information for our customers that will be part of this. The amenities themselves will include things like seating, leaning rails, trash receptacles, bike racks, a list of things. And who knows what else there will be down the road. So that's just a start. So this is the right hand?
Yeah. It's a left, and I'm just hitting on the side.
Oh, okay. In terms of meeting riders' needs, this is actually the equivalent of almost a Timber soccer stadium every single day. So we're going to have a lot of improved sidewalks, about 59,000 square feet, equivalent of 25 basketball courts. This is one of our most productive lines today, our line 4. It also includes, so part of the problem we're trying to solve together is it's also one of our biggest pass-ups on the whole system. So the investment, as Therese has referred to, by putting more, not just frequency out there, but also unit capacity called articulated buses, it's going to allow the frequency plus the capacity to be able to carry far more people. And yes, it's going to reduce travel time as well, up to about 20%. So if the full length of the line is 50 minutes, well, 20% of that is 10 times 2, because if you go home, that's helping to increase the health, the mobility, and the competitiveness of this city and this region. These are all excellent investments from our perspective. Again, three-door boarding is part of it. We need to get people on and off quick to meet our travel times and our commitments. In terms of transit signal priority, as Teresa's referred to, buses alone on an invested corridor like this, there are constraints, obviously, that come with existing real estate often. So this is a wonderful example of a first smart city application. And I think it's going to be a total winner. Part of transit signal priority, and this is quite interesting, is also that the technology will have the capability to determine how many people are on which buses, are they on schedule, and it'll actually make choices on the light based on the technology of those kinds of configurations, who's on schedule, who's off schedule, in terms of allowing which light gets the trigger, if you will. But all of this contributes to the physical infrastructure changes plus the technology changes to really start to optimize this and learn from it as we apply this to other enhanced transit corridors. It will also help us with safety, really crucial. In terms of the improvements, so with this $175 million investment, it's very significant in total, you will see investments, safety cameras, more streetlights, safer crosswalks, completed sidewalks, raised center medians, shorter crossing distance at crosswalks, buffered bike lanes, safer speed limits, marked crosswalks. This is currently a high crash corridor. So this is going to go a long way to really moving that needle of these investments to reduce safety as we get to improve Vision Zero. We think it's a great contributor, and it's just one component into making the whole network safer for everybody. It's also modernization of the corridor, which will help foster that others will talk about future investments. In terms of our customers, so part of the outreach we did a survey of about 3,600 riders, so statistically significant, and 93% of them really supported some or all of the changes on the division corridor. Interestingly enough, 74%, or just under three quarters, preferred to travel farther to the stations, but for faster trips. So travel time and amenities do matter. And anecdotally, I can say as a new general manager, I did about 23 my own town halls, and this came up in my first 96 days as the general manager. And this did arise, surprisingly to us, the importance of amenities to go with bus service. And some even said, rather have less bus service in some cases to have proper amenities. So it really is part of a combined package. So you can see 89% preferred traffic signal upgrades, prefer faster boarding, preferred quicker trips, 60% had fewer stations. So we did get a spattering of different types of feedback, but all in all, very high, strong percentage of support with those who were prepared to vote with their feet or our customers. In terms of division, it's going to take a bit of time, of course, for any construction project this complex, this exciting, and with all the partners to pull this off. But just wanted to share with you, in terms of East County, we're not waiting for the project to be fully implemented. So in terms of our current TriMet Fiscal 18 and 19 service for East County, you can see before you in the chart, we've got some expanded. So we're actually extending service and frequency this year. The Division Transit Project will be an overlay, an exciting overlay, on top of it. You'll see Line 74, example, Lines 81 with new service to the airport now. We are going to, while the trains are getting maintained over the night, we're introducing this fall, September, 24/7 bus service from PDX into town as well. So we need to move to a 24/7 type of service and not just be on our clock. We need to be on the region's clock. So these are part of the investments pre-HB 17 that TriMet is not waiting for before the revenue comes in. We're moving now. So I think in combination, it's really a pretty exciting combination together. We will also be extending service to very important Mount Hood Community College as well. You'll be able to see. You can also see on this chart in terms of House Bill 2017. It's a draft, still working through the process of the advisory committees. We'll come to the TriMet board, ultimately to the Oregon Transportation Commission later on. But you can also see some of the reallocation. What often gets forgotten is when new investment, such as a division transit corridor, come into play, the existing service hours, if you will, of current service are not going away. They're really doubling up and getting reallocated to feed this system. So this in itself is a very significant investment to not just reallocate the dollars and take them somewhere else. They will stay here and be reallocated to double down on even a higher capacity investment for this important part of the community. So more East County to come, and it's on its way before and while Division Transit project goes into play. So I think they have to be looked at in context together. Finally, I also wanted to, it does take a village, as people say, to pull off complex projects like this that Teresa's referred to earlier. We've also, at TriMet, been working on a DBE, or Disadvantaged Business Enterprise, agreements for a lot of years. And in our audience today is one of our partners here from Raymore Construction, who started as a DBE on Interstate MAX project a number of years ago. They worked on the Portland Mall, the Portland-Milwaukee Mall, the station rehab projects, and for PBOT, fixing our streets. Now, we've just awarded the construction manager general contractor for the division project to them. This will be the largest DBE in state's history once this comes into pass. So we're very proud of that heritage and that relationship, and we think it is part of that all boats should rise when events like this happen. And we're very proud of that DBE relationship, and I wanted to share that with you as part of the thought process that how we include as many people as possible. That would conclude my remarks, and happy to answer any questions at the right time. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Councillor.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for this opportunity. So I will be kicking off the status report on the conditions of approval that were adopted with the locally preferred alternative by City Council in December of 2016. Pardon me while I move over. So as a part of that adoption by City Council, several of the conditions of approval we developed with community members that have been participating in the planning process and including members of the steering committee. And so many of these conditions of approval address the concerns that we heard from the community, particularly around preventing displacement. And they continue to be critical to the support of our community partners for this project. The elements of the LPA conditions of approval go beyond just the transit project. And what we were hearing was that please take a holistic approach when you're planning in this corridor and implementing projects. And to look for the needs that beyond the transit, need is real too. And so the categories of these conditions of approval really fall into one, future updates, which we're doing right now, one of those, community engagement, affordable housing investment strategy, economic development and business mitigation, and transit service enhancements. Doug Kelsey, the TriMet General Manager, has led with talking with you on the status of some of those transit service enhancements around added service in East Portland, as well as some of the DBE goals. And many of these other conditions are things that we don't do with transit providers or transportation providers. We really look to other partners and our agencies and bureaus to help us meet these goals together. And so I have with us, inviting up some of our partners to help give this status report, starting with Eric Engstrom from Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and Malou Wilkinson with Metro. So if you would like to join me here. While they are doing so, I'll highlight a little bit more about the background of the conditions. And really, this is, we've been saying, synchronized swimming for us all to do this together in a holistic manner. Oops. So the origin of the LPA conditions really are grounded in the goals and outcomes that were adopted by the steering committee during the planning process, and Malou can touch on those, as well as the Portland Local Action Plan adopted by council that helped to forward those goals, and Eric can talk more about that, and really are ultimately grounded in the comprehensive plan of the City of Portland. And with that, I'll turn over to our agency partners and thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Eric Engstrom with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm here to give a little planning context. The division project and the local action plan are helping to implement the 2035 comprehensive plan in several respects. The regional high-capacity transit network, of course, is the skeleton holding up our centers and corridors growth strategy. It is also a key element in the climate action plan, which has a goal of doubling transit commute share by 2035. A core pillar of the comprehensive plan was equity, and of course you've already heard some of the project partners talk about the equity goals in this project, and the local action plan helps the city meet its equity goals in that respect. The affordable housing needs and targets identified in this corridor were grounded in the citywide targets, the 10,000 unit target adopted with the comprehensive plan. This is also the first major transit project to come along since the council debated and ultimately adopted anti-displacement policies in the 2035 Comprehensive Plan. And I wanted to call your attention to one policy in particular. There are others. This one, policy 8.33, says, encourage public engagement processes and strategies for large public facility projects to include community members in identifying project impacts, mitigation measures, and community benefits. So I think the Powell Division Local Action Plan was done in the spirit of that policy. I think it was being written at the same time, honestly, but was done in the spirit of that policy, and the conditions of approval that you adopted with the LPA are continuing to help implement that action plan and that policy. Displacement is a growing risk in East Portland, not just in this corridor. And frankly, when we started the comprehensive plan overhaul, displacement was not actually a major concern in this corridor or in much of East Portland at that time, but that has changed. The risk is now real and now part of the context for this project. The project is not the primary cause of that risk. As you all know, that's a citywide phenomenon in terms of rising rents and concern. But we need to be proceeding with major projects like this in a way that ensures the projects are part of the solution. And I want to acknowledge that with that in mind, I want to acknowledge that what we're doing now is probably not enough yet. We know that there are larger needs in East Portland. Towards that end, BPS recently reallocated some staff resources within our planning groups to assemble a larger team of planners to focus more on East Portland. Now that the Central City Plan is under our belt, we can make that shift. It's been more than 10 years since the East Portland Action Plan was adopted, and it's probably time to renew and refocus and recommit our energy in that direction. And finally, I want to thank Metro for funding some of the planning work in the corridor. I think two of the projects that helped us do the work towards finishing the local action plan were Metro-funded grants.
My apologies, I'm going to insert myself back in here. I was remiss in not covering a few slides, so I'm going to jump back to that really quickly. One, just highlighting the importance of around affordability in the relationship of transportation and housing. These are the two highest costs of a proportion of a household budget. And many within our region are cost burdened, and where their combined cost of housing and transportation exceed the ideal of 50%, and all the way up to 105%. So the more that we can do to co-invest and co-locate our affordable housing and our transportation investments, particularly on transit, the more we may be able to help reduce that burden. So that is part of our goal here, too, is to coordinate those investments in order that people may be able to remain and prosper. Additionally, we are building more than just a transit project. We have over $255 million of investment in projects in East Portland. These include projects like sidewalks, neighborhood greenways, high crash corridor, safety improvements, and more. And this does include the Outer Powell improvement. It's even more if you throw in paving projects. Many of these projects will help provide access to Division, and we have more that are in the planning and project development phase, including some project development of more projects in the Division Midway area and a funded project in the Jade District for a more connected center there. So this, again, the need is still more, so we will continue on identifying additional projects, but want to share with you, and the map is Exhibit B, the investments that we have underway now that are funded. And then I'll turn it back to Metro, to Malou.
All right. So Malou Wilkinson, I'm the Investment Areas Manager at Metro, and I'm happy to be here today. So I want to take us back up to the regional scale here with the image that you can see up on the screen and remind you that from a regional perspective, we began this project as one of the ways that we work collaboratively together to implement our collective vision for growth in our region, and that is the 2040 growth concept and vision. And that is, as Eric mentioned, to focus development and investment to support our centers and main streets and downtowns, employment and industrial areas, and protect farm and forest land and the neighborhoods that we all enjoy so much here. We're about halfway to 2040, so this from when we started this. And so I also want to say that this is, we do all of this work, and you see a lot of maps, and you see a lot of reports and words, and we're not doing this for that purpose. We're doing it to support the people in our region. So if you can just, I don't know how we want to do this. It's about the people, and now we can move on to the next one. I think it's really important for us to remember the faces of the people that we are trying to address the needs of in as we do the work that we do to, you know, as a region and as the cities in the region. And so those people that we are doing this for really need choices about how they can get to the places that they need to get to get to their work, to get to the places that they need to shop, to play, to learn. And the region's high-capacity transit network is one way to provide the choices that are that the people we all need. And Eric mentioned that as well. So the map that you see up there shows the region's high-capacity transit network with two dotted lines, one being Southwest Corridor, and more importantly today, the Division Transit Project. And that really addresses a missing link in our regional high-capacity transit network. That's a key reason that we began this work. But now if you can go to the next one. When we started this project as the PAL Division Transit and Development Project, we were really excited as Metro to apply an investment areas approach, starting with the land use and the community goals for affordable housing, for business growth and retention, and access to education in this part of the region. And so when we began this project, we created a steering committee that really, you know, that really reflected that and considered how our investment in transit as a big public investment could help support the other community goals. And so the steering committee that we created was over half representing community groups, and the less than half part were the elected officials and the agency heads that we needed there as well. So that was an important component of our work. And that steering committee really defined a very broad set of goals, as April referenced, from transportation, and the transportation in a broad sense was more focused on the sidewalk improvements and the bicycle safety improvements, the well-being of the community. Equity was a really critical component of the goal setting that the steering committee did, and then efficiency in terms of a transit project and how it would operate. As Metro, we are really excited to see this project move forward. It really, as Eric mentioned, it creates Doug Kelsey mentioned, it's a new type of transit service in our region, and we hope that it can be applied in other places as well, and that we're learning lessons in how we've approached this with the Division Transit Project. As a region, we've committed $25 million of our federal flexible funds to this project. In addition, you know, we, having created that steering committee and worked through the process of it's really, the transit is just one of the elements that we need to help support the community goals. One of the early implementation elements that we were able to move forward with was that our transit-oriented development program was able to purchase a key site at 82nd and Division. I wish that we would have used a photo of the furniture store that used to be there that was defunct for a very long time and a little bit of an eyesore for the community. And so what was a furniture store will soon, in partnership with the city and the community, be the image that you see up on the screen. It's about maybe halfway there right now if you go drive out there. And we're excited that it's not only affordable housing that's being provided there, but also a community space for Apano that can really meet the needs of the people who live in that area. And you'll hear more about that project from your own staff. So while we were working on the PAL Division Transit and Development Project that became the Division Transit Project, and all the other work that we're doing at the regional level, you know, from the city perspective, housing has continued to rise to the forefront of community concerns. And we've been hearing that over and over again. We have up here the draft framework that for a regional housing bond. Metro staff worked on developing a framework with in partnership with the community over the last year. The framework was for a $652 million general obligation bond that would cost the average homeowner about $60 a year. It would really be a significant step on building on the work that Portland has already done with your housing fund that you have. And the council referred this measure to the voters in June, so it will be on the ballot in November. We're excited about the potential for addressing some of our housing needs in this region. And the last thing that I want to say is just a huge thank you to your staff and to the Portland City Council with the leadership that you've provided in working collaboratively to address some of these needs in our region.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Next, I would like to invite up from the Portland Housing Bureau, Interim Director Shannon Callahan, and from Prosper Portland, we have Tony Campbell, who is the Entrepreneurship and Community Economic Development Manager.
Very good. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Shannon Callahan from the Portland Housing Bureau. We're pleased to be here today. We have been an early partner on the project on the corridor to ensure that we are able to capitalize on the transit investments with new opportunities for affordable housing and to work early to mitigate and prevent displacement. Some of our earliest work was as a funding partner with Metro on the Pono and Rose on the J development. We contributed just over $1.8 million to make that an affordable development, and we're very proud to be a partner with that. Our first new housing bond project is actually on the corridor as well. It is located at 30th and Powell, and as you know, it'll begin community design work this fall. We estimate approximately 200 units from this development. Roughly a $60 million total investment. The picture you do see before you is conceptual, so just so everyone knows, we have not at all begun design work, but we wanted to give you an idea of what it could look like. And we are presently working on opportunities on the eastern edge of the corridor. We are particularly interested in acquiring already occupied buildings with an eye toward preventing displacement. Our commitment to the corridor has been very real, and in fact, one-third of the total bond buildings planned or acquired right now are actually on the corridor because of 30th and Powell. So thank you for having us.
Thank you. Afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for the time. I just want to take a few moments to talk around some of the economic development and business mitigation efforts that Prosper Portland will be supporting in tandem with some of our partners. As you're aware, we're calling out a Division Street business and community support. The corridor is really one of the most diverse areas in the city of Portland, and the support that we're intending to provide really helps support the needs of both the residents as well as the businesses, particularly communities of color, immigrant, and low-income populations, so that they not only benefit, obviously, from the future transit improvements, but also that they're able to make it through the construction process as well, and particularly businesses. So Prosper Portland will be requesting funding in the fall bump to support this fully with respects to the economic development activities for this coming fiscal year. There's four areas that I just want to briefly touch on. The funding will leverage with other resources to fully fund the following activities. The first is going to be the business technical assistance and support. Again, this is offering that one-on-one technical, both light and intense touch for businesses that are going to be in the corridor to ensure that in preparation for the construction as well as through the construction and afterwards, their position in order to not only just survive but to thrive during that time. There's also funding allocated for our MPI community outreach coordinators, which are going to be individuals who specifically go really a step deeper into the community with community engagement, particularly around language, with the plethora of languages and communities that are there. We also feel like it's incredibly important to ensure that there's adequate support and context and relationships there to make folks aware of all the opportunities and resources there to support them during and after the transit project. The next one is the Business Loan Fund, which is a mini micro loan fund, which again is important to help businesses to not only just simply have an idea of how they're going to make it through, but more importantly, to seed them with funding to help actualize those ideas to ensure that the businesses continue to stay afloat and move forward. And then lastly is Workforce Navigator. Again, recognizing this corridor is ripe with opportunity for individuals to find job placement and employment, and so we want to continue to support that. So those elements all really wrap into how we see our efforts in partnership with those that are currently at the table and many of our partners that we work with to ensure that things move not only smoothly for the project, but also just as important that the community finds it to be something that when they look back, they say, not only do we get inherent benefits from transit and infrastructure, but our businesses not only made it, but they grew, and the opportunities are very tangible. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. And that concludes our presentations on the status report. And next, I will turn it back over to Teresa Boyle to talk more about the IGA and ordinance element.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm great. So we called this synchronized swimming. You could also call it musical chairs. Both of those things work.
You know, I have never heard a synchronized swimming analogy.
And it came from transportation people. Go figure.
It's innovative. It's a new one.
There you go. Well, this is all about innovative and new. But one of the things that is not new is the fact that all of the high-capacity transit projects that we have done in this region have required local support in order to make them go. The Division Transit Project is a small starts project under the federal guidelines, and at $175 million, we are expecting a 50% federal match, which means that locally we need to come up with $87.3 million. And Portland has a role to play in that, and the ordinance before you today that you will be voting on next week fulfills and completes what we believe to be a healthy contribution of $17.73 million. The funding would be paid out in two increments. The one would be at the start of construction, and then the other would be the following year. Now, we have already provided $2 million of that amount to Metro previously. So when you actually look at the ordinance, it says 15.73. So it's, I don't want you to be confused about the numbers. Partnership's been a big theme today. And one of the places you can most clearly see partnership is in terms of what it takes to lift local match for a project like this. In particular, this is for Division Transit, but if you were to look at any of the other big light rail projects, you will see many, many partners helping make the project go. And in this particular case, the largest contribution is TriMet's at $34.7 million. Portland is split up on this chart a little bit. There's the bulk of the money is attributed toward construction. Our other services, the other million that makes up our 17 is in kind. So we get a lot for our contribution. When you look just within the Portland segment about the elements and the value that we get in terms of street infrastructure, there are any number of important things that we receive. But we also get that intrinsic value of setting ourselves up and establishing for future projects as the need arises and the funds are available.
Could you go back? There was something.
You know what? I think I can. Let me get back there.
Perfect. Get it. So yes. Concrete bus pads as opposed to what?
As opposed to a standard asphalt road. So when we have a large volume of buses right now on a route, TriMet and the city partner together to put a concrete bus pad at the bus stop, because the idling of the bus and the full load when it takes off tends to really erode away the asphalt.
So this is a long-term maintenance capital.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit.
So it's cost savings.
Yes, it's a huge benefit in the long run from a maintenance standpoint.
Okay, so I'm not going to show up and go, oh, good, this is a concrete bus.
You know what? I will take you out there and you can do that because it makes all of us very happy that we've got it. But yeah, it's a subtle benefit, but it's one that's very real.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome. Let me get back. All right. So we're talking about leverage, really. For the investment of our transportation SDC, we've calculated that we get about $68 million worth of direct infrastructure improvements in Portland. And there's a split, so you can see Gresham's as well for their investment. that is everything I have in terms of information, and we are all available to you if you have questions either from the status report or from the info I've provided.
So that completes the invited testimony, and I'll take public testimony.
Very good. Carla, do we have anybody signed up for public testimony?
Yes, we have 10 people signed
Very
up.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. The first three are Bob Stacey, Duncan Wang, and Clint Culpepper.
Very good.
Mayor, it's our normal procedure to have electeds or former electeds testify first.
Yep. And if
electeds, I can
Shirley Craddock, we have Shirley Craddock.
Sorry, Shirley.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't sign up. I didn't realize I had to.
Very good. And 3 minutes, name for the record. And for those who've never testified before, it's super easy. The microphones move around. 6 to 8 inches is about right. And there's a yellow light there. It'll go on when you have 30 seconds left. And when your time is up, it turns red. Thank you for being here. Do you want to go first?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
And commissioners. I'm Bob Stacey. I'm a Metro Councilor, District 6. With me, of course, is my colleague Shirley Craddock. Together, we co-chaired the Division Powell, later Division Transit, Project Steering Committee. And so we have a long history now. We've been at it for some years. And it's exciting to be here now and to both welcome this advance and to thank the City Council and the City of Portland for its commitment, both in resources and future expenditure to this, which is one of two major transit commitments and priorities in the regional plan. The other one, of course, being the Southwest Corridor Light Rail Project, which will also directly serve the City of Portland. We've already heard from Malou Wilkinson, so most of the points I would have made have been adequately and more than adequately expressed. The $25 million which the region put into this project from regional federal flexible funds was an important contribution. But the city's leadership in terms of funding share of this project, working so hard on the planning and other preparation that's been described by your staff, is exemplary and sets a standard for the rest of the region. This, of course, this project investment will better serve the corridor through which it passes, the businesses providing essential services, and increasing access to other parts of the city. But it's also the case that the city's investment in bicycle and pedestrian accessibility and safety along much of this stretch of Division will make the project even more meaningful and the results even safer. Our committee heard often about the direct connection between housing affordability, displacement, and transportation investments as we worked with the community on the design and siting of this project. And so I am very pleased to once again acknowledge the commitment by the Metro Council to put a $652 million bond measure. For those counting, that's $5 per month for the typical homeowner on the November ballot. We hope through that mechanism not only to better serve the folks in this corridor and to avoid unnecessary displacement, but to ultimately house as many as 12,000 individuals who are homeless or in danger of becoming homeless. So once again, greatly appreciate the city's leadership in this and other measures to improve the livability and quality of life and economic prosperity of our communities, and encourage you to take positive action on both measures. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you being here. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Commissioners, thank you for this moment. I fully support the comments that Councillor Stacey made. I won't take long to end, but I want to add just three different things. First of all, many years ago, this Portland City Council created the East Portland Action Plan, and I think that's been one of the best decisions your council has made for the east side of the region. They're a group now that are working together. There's over 60 people at every one of their meetings. They come up with common goals, and they have really influenced what the how this project is shaping, and in particular the emphasis on housing. They demanded right along that we make sure that this isn't just a transit project but a housing project too. We recognize that this project doesn't pay for housing, but it sure is guiding our effort in that. And just as testimony occurred just previously by your staff, you're putting a lot of emphasis on housing. And as Councillor Stacey just mentioned, it's now influencing the Metro Council to look at housing too. So I just want to say thank you for listening and for creating that organization. They're a powerful group, and I really appreciate all they do to help guide us in making sure that we're trying to meet their needs and their goals and become a really active part of the larger Portland Metro region. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Duncan Huang. I'm the Associate Director at APANO in the Jade District, and I'm here to talk about Outer Division and what we're kind of experiencing on the ground. Outer Division is first a commercial corridor, which is home to about 100 immigrant and person of color-owned businesses, many of which are served by the Jade District and the Division Midway Alliance. We really believe that our businesses are community centers, they're employers, and really they're the economic engines of our neighborhoods. However, many of our residents and businesses have difficulty making ends meet due to rising rents and other expenses. Outer Division is also a dangerous street. 82nd and Division is the fifth most dangerous intersection in the city, and 122nd Division is the third most dangerous intersection. In the last 4 years, four of our Asian elders have died in Outer Division. All were immigrants. They are over the age of 60, and they all happened at night. That, to me, is just really unacceptable to have, you know, so many people from the same demographic being impacted. Big problems require big solutions. So first, I just want to thank the city for all the investments lined up for Outer Division. We have a Division Safety Project, which will add crosswalks and medians. It's a long time coming, and construction will begin this fall. You saw earlier the Jade District Affordable Housing Development is nearing completion and will be done by April or May of next year. And, of course, the Division Transit project has been under planning and development for a number of years. So as important as these projects are, they can have a destabilizing impact on the local community during construction. And we want to ensure that the community living and working along Division can stay and enjoy these new amenities that we'll have. When our organization first began to engage in 2015 on what was then known as the Powell Division Transit and Development Project, we really believe that this was not just a transportation project, but also a community development project. As the project evolved, this council adopted a unanimous resolution, Resolution 37254, to adopt a locally preferred alternative and directed city agencies to collaborate with community stakeholders to create a memorandum of understanding to address community concerns around the transit project. Community orgs worked with city agencies, with Metro and TriMet in good faith to create a MOU, which was signed in March 2017. This memorializes our expectations to provide culturally responsive resources for business mitigation and approximately 300 to 600 units of affordable housing, of which 20 to 25% will be located in East Portland. It also called for additional north-south transit lines, which are now, starting to be in place. But transportation projects are really about weighing trade-offs, and we believe that with these mitigation measures that this was a new, more holistic approach to community development and transit, and combined they would be a net gain for the community. However, at the moment, we're only able to give the project an incomplete grade. The mitigation measures for local businesses were not funded, and the Housing Bureau has not announced any housing projects in Outer Division. I believe that all the stakeholders here really want Division Transit to be the best project that can be, and that requires us to live up to all the commitments that were made. And I believe that we really need to center equity and making sure that we honor our commitments, especially as we work on Southwest Corridor and the Broadway Corridor. But I do look forward to the day when, you know, I can get down to City Hall in 20 minutes on the transit line rather than the 30-some minutes it takes me now. So you know, we do support the project as long as all of the mitigation measures are in place as well. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three, please, Carl.
Are Clint Culpepper, Michael Harrison, and Lori Irish Bauman.
Welcome.
Thank you. First, thank you to the council for seeing us today and talking about this project. Thank you to TriMet and Metro and Bureau of Transportation for having us. My name is Clint Culpepper. I'm representing Portland State University. I'm the Transportation Options Manager there. And I want to say that we wholeheartedly support this project. We are one of the largest transit users in the city, in the region. We have a very robust travel demand management program subsidizing transit passes for our students and our staff. And we do have a transit ridership rate of over 40%. So when we talk about 30,000 people moving 40% of those by transit, this is something that's very important to us. We also do definitely support the bicycle and walking improvements that are coming along with this project. And we have really noticed that in the past expansion of the city, more and more of our students are being pushed away from the neighborhoods that are close in, and more and more are finding themselves living in East Portland, and with that limiting their options to transportation to campus. So as things have become more expensive, that's put more of a strain on our students, who, as I see it, are one of the most vulnerable users of transit at this point. This project will make a huge improvement for some of those students, quite a number of them, as it does improve service, speed up the trip to campus, and as was just mentioned, hopefully seeing some of those trips down to 20 minutes from home to campus. So very excited about that. We also see that within the Division corridor that has been noted as a high crash corridor with five intersections of particular danger to pedestrians and cyclists and other vulnerable road users. So along with the transit improvements that we see, I want to stress the importance of those new bike lanes, new safe crossings for pedestrians. Really want to see the city stand behind this and make this project happen. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Harrison. I do government and neighborhood relations for OHSU. I'm also the registered lobbyist, which I think I need to say at this point. Really much of what Clint said covers OHSU as well. We have extensive programs to attract people to transit, but there's sort of only sort of so much you can do. We give people bus passes that just cost a few dollars a month, so they're practically free, and a great many people use it. But we find it's hard for us to budge much above 30% transit usage, and that's why a project like this is so powerful, where you'll be able to provide people a one-seat ride. Makes a pretty extensive difference. We do a lot of surveys of our employees to try to figure out how to get them to bike more, walk more, use transit, and one-seat ride is certainly something that comes up. So we're very, very excited about the project. One thing I wanted to add, as the city's largest employer, we take attracting and maintaining a diverse workforce very seriously. Because a few percentage points at OHSU, given we have 16,000 employees, translates to a big impact on the workforce. We also have programs like the city has with the Water Bureau and Bureau of Environmental Services to hire folks with a wide range of abilities as well, so that everyone can contribute back. Having a one-seat ride out to Outer East Portland and Gresham really makes our job so much more accessible to people who would be seeking employment in that area. As you could probably imagine, as a public entity, OHSU has good jobs, quite good jobs, and sort of help fill that missing middle. And so if you're someone who lives out there and maybe has a kid and are struggling to figure out how you can get and pick them up after school and whatnot, having a faster transit trip could make a meaningful difference and allow someone to get a job that has more benefits and more of a future maybe than a job they would otherwise choose. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Lori Irish-Bellman. I'm a member of the TriMet Board of Directors. I represent District 4, which covers much of southeast Portland, and the Division Transit Project is located largely within District 4. But I'm here today to testify primarily as a mom. I have twin daughters. They're young adults who experience developmental disabilities. They're loyal transit riders. Just about every day, one or both of my daughters are on the bus or the train to go to work and to school and to visit with friends. For them, public transit means independence, and it means self-reliance. And as a TriMet board member, I serve on the Committee on Accessible Transportation, and that committee advises